Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Adi Adedoyin. Coming up, Tiger Woods misses the cut in Atlanta. The details from the PGA Championship to come. We'll look ahead to the opening fixtures of the new English Premier League season. And at Edgbaston, India's misery continues as Alistair Cook records Test best figures.
Sharma starts a new over and bowls to Cook. His slice is going to be caught. He's caught at deep backwards point for 294. His highest Test score, his highest first class score, and a magnificent innings.
First golf and the second round of the PGA Championship in Atlanta has now been completed, and it proved to be another dreadful day for Tiger Woods, with the former world number one missing the cut. Americans Jason Duffner and Keegan Bradley share a one-shot lead on 5 under par. The details from reporter Andrew Cotter.
As a roll call of the biggest names in golf, this US PGA falls somewhere short at the halfway stage. Americans Jason Duffner and rising talent Keegan Bradley lead the way on 5 under, with former US Open champion Jim Furyk and the Australian John Sendon in a group a shot back. But a difficult day of scoring brought others back into the fray, like Adam Scott on 2 under, one ahead of Lee Westwood, with Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia and Luke Donald all 1 over. Even Rory McIlroy has an outside chance if he can rid himself of the mental bruising that has come with his injured right arm. But nothing can help Tiger Woods here. He stumbled out on 10 over, announcing afterwards that he wouldn't play again until November. He withdraws from public view to work on his game. He leaves the stage here for lesser lights to shine.
Let's hear now from Tiger Woods with his thoughts on his poor showing.
Well, it's a step back in the sense that I didn't make the cut and I'm not continuing the tournament, but it's a giant leap forward. The fact I played 2 straight weeks healthy. So that's great for our practice sessions coming up. We're going to be now able to work and get after it. So something unfortunately I haven't been able to do, and I thought I could come in here and play the last couple weeks and get it done somehow, but I need some work.
Now tennis, and the world number one Novak Djokovic is attempting to book his place in the semi-finals of the ATP Masters 1000 event in Montreal. He's up against the fifth seed, Gael Monfils, and watching for the BBC is Philip Studd.
Yes, Djokovic with this remarkable record of 50 wins in 51 attempts this year, bidding for his fifth Masters title of 2011 to go with his 2 Grand Slam titles in Australia and at Wimbledon. Standing in his way, the richly talented but sometimes erratic Monfils, the number 5 seed here, who's been in good form of late. He reached the final of the Washington event last week. Monfils escaped from love 40 down on his serve in the 4th game of the opening set, but he couldn't do so in the 6th. So Djokovic...
Apologies there, we appear to have lost the line to Philip Studd. Well, to football now, here on the BBC World Service, and Arsenal will start the new Premier League season without their captain, Cesc Fabregas. The BBC understands that Barcelona are preparing to unveil the player over the weekend. Both Fabregas and Samir Nasri have been left out of the squad for Saturday's match against Newcastle, but the Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger, remains defiant. With more, the BBC's Mike Sewell.
The indications are that Wenger will lose his 2 most influential players, even if he's not prepared to admit it himself. You could argue he's a manager in denial.
I expect nobody to leave the club,
was his answer to a direct question on whether Fabregas and Nasri are going, but then conceded he couldn't say whether it will or won't happen.
At the moment there is no news, and if you have any news to give you, I promise you we'll do it.
And with the continued use of the straight bat, Wenger wouldn't go as far as to assure Arsenal fans that he had potential replacements of their calibre on the horizon. He simply added that we are all replaceable.
Well, Arsenal have a score to settle with Newcastle. Last season, the Gunners squandered a 4-goal lead at St James's Park. As for the Newcastle manager, Alan Pardew, he says he's glad all the transfer talk will be coming to an end.
Now the action starts on the pitch, and hopefully people will start talking about that, and that we've got a good young side and we've got good energy on the pitch. We're looking forward to what will be a cracking game. Last year's game was perhaps the best game in the Premier League, in my opinion, and the 4-all draw, and if it's anything like that, we'll be in for a treat.
It's thought that Arsenal's Samir Nasri may well be on his way to Manchester City, who don't play until Monday against newly promoted Swansea City. In his pre-match news conference, the City boss Roberto Mancini also spoke about Carlos Tevez. Mancini believes the Argentine striker could stay at the club beyond the transfer window because nobody else wants him.
I think that we should wait these 2 weeks until the end of the market. I think that it's difficult that he can leave the club, because at the moment Carlos is here, there isn't a team that wants to take him.
Elsewhere in the Premier League, Fernando Torres has recovered from concussion and is fit for Chelsea's opener against Stoke City on Sunday. His captain, John Terry, expects him to have a successful season with the London club. The Spanish striker struggled to find his form last season after his move from Liverpool, but Terry says Torres will be a key member of the team.
If selected, I'm sure he hit the ground running this year, and you know, naturally it takes time, and he came with a lot of pressure last year as well. So with his first go out of the way, we're hoping that there's many more to come.
Liverpool, meanwhile, face Sunderland on the opening day of the season at Anfield. Their manager, Kenny Dalglish, has signed several players in the close season. Midfielders Charlie Adam, Stuart Downing, Jordan Henderson, goalkeeper Alexander Doni, and more recently, Jose Enrique. And Dalglish says he's got high hopes for his new team.
We're delighted with who we've brought in. We think it helps the squad, it helps the supporters look forward to it a bit more. So we had to improve the quality of the squad that we have. People would have been disappointed if we hadn't. We're happy with the business we've done. We look forward to the start of the season, same as everybody. Every club's exactly the same as ourselves. We've got high expectation before the ball's kicked. We just hope we can fulfil the expectation and at the same time remain realistic and concentrate in one game at a time and see where that takes us.
And as you might expect, the English Premier League will feature highly on Sports World on Saturday with the BBC's Russell Fuller.
Well, much is expected this Premier League season of Liverpool and of Kenny Dalglish, and that's where Sports World will be beginning the new season with commentary from Anfield on Liverpool's game with Sunderland. We'll also follow Alex McLeish with his new Aston Villa team and check in on the fortunes of Norwich and Queen's Park Rangers as they return to the Premier League. Ahead of Arsenal's late game against Newcastle, we'll wonder what the future holds for Arsene Wenger now that Cesc Fabregas and Samir Nasri seem to be on the way out, with Test match cricket between India and England and the final major of the golf season as well, the US PGA Championship, all from 14 hours GMT.
Now cricket, and England have amassed a huge lead over India after 3 days of the third test in Birmingham. England declared their first innings on a mammoth 710 for 7, with Alistair Cook just missing out on a triple hundred. It was eventually out for 294. It gave the host a first innings lead of 486, and at stumps, India were looking forlorn on 35 for 1. From Edgbaston, the BBC's Richard Connolly reports.
Alistair Cook's powers of concentration would impress a chess grandmaster, but the pieces didn't quite fall into place for him. After more than two full days of batting, he fell 6 short of a triple century and walked off shaking his head, despite a standing ovation for the innings of his life. Morgan, with 104 and Bresnan, 53 not out, provided fine support, but the golfing attitude between the teams was shown just 2 balls into the Indian innings. Sehwag wafted at an Anderson outswinger, an edge to slip for his second golden duck of the match, a king pair. Gambier and Dravid survived to the close, but the ball turned sharply for both Swan and Peterson. England will surely win and become the world's best team at some stage on day 4. India have surrendered meekly.
Let's hear now from Alistair Cook, who, despite scoring 294, was a little disappointed.
Yeah, it was nice to cash in, I suppose, properly. And yeah, look, I'm obviously delighted. If you being a realistic and take the emotion out of it, it was very pleased.
What was the team plan in terms of your triple hundred? First of all, did it give you clear directions at tee time?
Yeah, we wanted to try and get as close to 500 lead and have 12 overs or 10 overs at them tonight. And I think when obviously I got out, we just pulled the pin a little bit earlier. But we wanted to try and bat all day, and we put ourselves in a really good position.
And Zimbabwe followed up their one-off test match win over Bangladesh with victory by 4 wickets in the first of 5 one-day internationals in Harare. And before we go, just a reminder that Tiger Woods has missed the cut at the US PGA Championship in Atlanta. Americans Jason Duffner and Keegan Bradley share a one-shot lead on 5 under par. Stay with us for further updates throughout the day, but for now, that's